But before we begin, let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your song. We thank you for LaTanya's message in her song, that Jesus can do all things. So we just give you praise and we give you thanks, Lord. We just thank you for blessing us this morning. We thank you for the sunshine, the rain. We just thank you that people came out and wanted to hear and learn more about your word. So as we continue in the message this morning, we pray that you would just give us a heart to hear and ears to hear, really hear your word, that we might not only be hearers, but we will be doers of your word. And in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, I tried this in the first service, and it went over pretty good. So I know when I try it in the second service, it's going to be great, because, Peter, you know what the band's going to do. It's going to be really great. So first, I want all of you just kind of slide up at the end of your seat. Slide on the end of your seat if you can. Then, while you're there, I want you to just rise if you can. I want you to raise your hand, and I want you to say, hallelujah, hallelujah. And there is a hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right, so you can be seated. Because when Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby and Pastor Kelly asked you, say, how did those lay pastors do? You said, I don't know, but on that third Sunday when lay Pastor Sylvia, she had us on the end of our seats, she had us standing up, and Mary and Katie shouting with the family. I don't know what's going to happen, but at least that part went well. Okay, is there anyone here today besides me who has prayed for a miracle? I don't know. I see many of us have. Is this mic okay? Okay. Okay, yeah, that's one thing. We want to dismiss the nursery right now. If you have any person in here that's five and below, you can take them to the nursery. You can go out the door back there. And Gail is there. She'll take good care of them. You have to pick them up at the end of the service. Well, if you pray for a miracle, I want you to know that God is still in the business of providing miracles. But sometimes when we pray for a miracle, we have to just kind of step back and allow the Lord to do the miracle the way God wants him to do it. Because there are times when we can actually block our own miracle. Today, as we continue in our Running Into Jesus series, we will meet a man who put himself in the right place and at the right time to receive a miracle. A person who was different, not like our regular Jesus followers. He was a non-Jew. He was a Gentile. And during this time, Gentiles were allowed to believe in God. They were allowed to believe in the God of Abraham and Sarah, but they were not allowed to go into the inner court of the temple and worship. They were was what you might call second-class believers at best. But Jesus saw this man, however, and he looked not at who this person was or where he came from. He looked at the heart of this person. And a centurion, a Roman centurion, the most unlikely person, experienced the miracle. A centurion, you know, was a commander in the Roman army with control over 100 soldiers. And, you know, LaTanya and Cheryl and Marvin and I, as we were down at the table yesterday, we was trying to figure out, you know, Rome was occupied by the Roman military, but how do you say it? So Roman soldiers were in control. And there was a little love between the Jews and the Roman soldiers. A Roman soldier could, at any time, ask the Jewish person to carry his equipment for a mile. That is why we read that Jesus said, if anyone asks you to go with him for a mile, go with him too instead. So our text this morning is taken from the book of Matthew. And the Gospel of Matthew is described by commentators as Matthew's attempt to introduce us to the king. That this man called Jesus was the king. He was the promised Messiah, the promise to the Jewish people that they would have a king from the kingship of David. Matthew himself was Jewish and had been called as one of the king's disciples. And his gospel is written for the Jewish audience, and he talks a lot about Jesus's genealogy, his teaching, the difference he was making in their lives, and he talked about the king's miracles, many miracles that the Jewish people were experiencing. Our New Testament scripture reading this morning gives us a glimpse of some of these miracles. And in my Bible, the centurion's miracle is under the heading, Jesus performs many miracles. Under this topic concerning miracles, we see Jesus healing women, children, a paralyzed man, a man with leprosy. We see him calming the sea and driving out demons. But this particular miracle is not a miracle for a Jewish person, but rather for a Gentile, a Roman soldier. Now, when we read the New Testament this morning, it was in a different version, but Karen is going to put up the New Testament version on the screen, and we will reread in the NIV version. And you can read along with me. It's on the overhead. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished. And he said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believe. And his servant was healed that very hour. Amen. So now we see that Matthew is telling us Jesus' miracles was for everyone. He shows no favoritism, and it is here he reminds us that Jesus came to seek and save the lost of the entire world. Matthew emphasizes this universal theme that Jesus shows no favoritism, and also that he is sovereign over disease, demons, and disasters of any kind. And it is recorded that when he preached that thousands responded to their message. When they ran into Jesus, they believed who he was. They believed he was exactly who he said he was, and they were changed. They were experiencing the miracle. Our Old Testament scripture this morning tells us about this for centuries that they had believed, that the Messiah was coming. They wanted to see this miracle worker, the Messiah. The Messiah was to bring them healing, hope, freedom, and restoration into their lives. And they based this expectation on their promises from God through the prophets, like Isaiah, which we read this morning. Isaiah 6 even started way back before he was born, because it states, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, he was, they were prophesizing that Jesus was going to be their Messiah even 400 years earlier before Jesus actually came. However, now for some, when they actually ran into Jesus, they still wonder, is he the one? Is he really the promised Messiah? Jesus was doing all kinds of mighty things for those who ran into him that suggested he was the one. He was teaching with unprecedented authority. He was performing extraordinary miracles that seemed to be indicative of divine power. And he was confronting nameless thousands of people with a message of hope. But although Matthew talks about thousands of people, we see individuals. We see those one-on-one relationships with Jesus that stand out from the crowd. And Matthew shows us that Jesus came to seek and save not just the Jewish people, but the lost of the entire world. We are reminded that when we too run into Jesus, this miracle worker, this Messiah, all of us can find hope, we can find healing, we can find freedom, and we too can find restoration in our lives, no matter what our background is. The centurion knew something about Jesus. Maybe he had been like some of the other Roman soldiers who had believed Jesus was from God. Maybe he had read some news report that Jesus was out there healing lepers, women, and others. Maybe he ran into Jesus while he was preaching to those nameless thousands. Maybe he had looked at him from afar, like maybe sometimes some of us do. We see Jesus from afar. Or maybe he had heard about his great healings, and he believed. He could have heard got a second-hand report on the 6 o'clock news, or read about it in the Plain Dealer, or seen it on the internet. I saw someone looking at the YouTube just a few minutes ago. So he couldn't have got that news from there. The centurion had ran into Jesus, and he believed in his power and his authority. So what does this scripture really tell us about this centurion, this man who believed? First, it tells us he was a Roman soldier, a person considered unclean by Orthodox law. He was unqualified by religious law for any kind of help from God because he couldn't even go in the temple and worship. He was a hated Gentile, a Roman soldier. But he knew this because scripture said he knew his place. He said, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. He knew and understood Jesus' authority. And we know he was a compassionate man because he was trying to get help for his servant. But we know he still was not a Jew, he was a Gentile. But Jesus didn't look at the person. Jesus did not see what others saw when they saw him. Jesus saw more than just the Gentile, an outsider, a Roman soldier on the side of the enemy. He saw more than just a foreigner coming up and interrupting him and asking him for help. He saw a man in whose life he could make a difference. He didn't discard his request. He gave this man his complete and undivided attention. He showed him love and acceptance. He demonstrated that there is no scar, no sin, or any condition that affects in any way his desire and ability to love and accept and forgive those who come to him. Scripture says that when Jesus heard this man's request to just speak the word and his servant would be healed, he was astonished. Some of them say he was amazed. Some books say he was amazed, and some say he marveled. But this one said he was astonished and said to the people following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Jesus looked at this man's heart and sensed something different. This difference was something he called great faith. We often talk about great faith when we're in our sisters in the Lord's class and our spiritual journey class and our life sharing class, and we struggle with the concept of this term, great faith. And to have great faith, it means to be found faithful in all we say and do. And we struggle with that concept. So what is great faith? How do we get it? According to Matthew 17, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So could we really have or do anything we want if we had just a little bit more faith? Jesus gives us the answer. He looked at the man's heart. The centurion knew his place. He knew he deserved nothing from Jesus. So he couldn't remind Jesus, like, you know, I did this or I did that in your name. I was at church every Sunday. I tithe. I serve on this committee. I serve on that committee. I was at the Glenville Festival, sitting in the heat and the rain. I'm one of your children, Lord, and I have certain rights. The centurion showed his faith by acknowledging he deserved nothing. And Jesus called it great faith. And the centurion experienced the miracle. Now, the centurion could have let many obstacles stand between him and Jesus. He could have said, you know, who is this man? Does he know who I am? I am a Roman military officer. He could have let barriers such as pride, doubt, money, self-sufficiency, power, race keep him from experiencing the miracle. And many of us today may find ourselves in that same situation. And we too may let some barriers or something keep us from experiencing the miracle. Now see, there's lots of miracles, and many things can keep us away from really knowing the joy and the blessings of Jesus Christ. But although there are many barriers which can keep us away, pride in that long list often surfaces as the number one barrier that keep us from running into Jesus. Now, this is a story about pride. A story is told about a minister who received a Christmas card from a lady in the congregation. He said she was very complimentary about his preaching and actually compared him with Billy Graham. She finished by writing, "I think that you are one of the really great preachers of all times." Later that day, he showed the note to his wife, and she asked, "Who is this woman?" He replied, "Oh, you know, she's the very intelligent woman in the congregation who loves to hear great preaching." He then asked his wife, "How many great preachers do you suppose there really are in the world?" And she replied, "One less than you think." There's one less out there than you think. See, pride puffs you up. Pride makes you think you are better than anybody else. Pride gives you a high opinion of your own self-worth. Pride promotes self-sufficiency rather than God's sufficiency. And pride also promotes attitudes like, "I can do it myself. I do not need anyone else." Another attitude is, "I want it my way." Our culture tells us this all the time. Even the fast food places promote this, "Have it your way." I shared the story in the first service, but I don't know if many of them had seen that clip when this lady drove through the McDonald's or the Wendy's drive-thru, and she wanted to have it her way. She wanted those chicken nuggets. She couldn't get those chicken nuggets. So she banged in the window. She smashed in the drive-thru window. She wanted it then. She wanted it her way. Our self-centered society tells us that we can always have it our way. That if we are good enough, if we work hard enough, if we can just earn enough degrees, you can do and have anything you need. You don't need Jesus. You don't need the miracle. So God hates the sin of pride. He calls it evil because most sin, such as lying, cheating, and being argumentative, had its roots in pride. God hates pride because it's destructive. And one form of pride that keeps many of us away from experiencing the miracle is spiritual pride. It is spiritual pride that keeps people from giving their hearts to the Lord. It is that type of pride that says, I don't need God. I can make it on my own. And Proverbs 16:5 read, the Lord detests all of the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. See, spiritual pride is that inner voice that whisper, you know, my way is best. I don't want to listen to you. My way is best. My way is the only way. I can do it by myself. Spiritual pride is resisting God's leadership and word and believing that you are able to live without him. So there are some barriers that's keeping you from experiencing the miracle today? What barrier is keeping you from believing that God's grace and mercy is for all of us? When we run into Jesus, that same Jesus that LaTanya sung about, we can let some barriers even stop us, or we can believe in his grace and his mercy. He gives us a choice. We can believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with the power to change our lives, or we can believe he is not who he said he was. We can experience the miracle, or we can choose to walk away from it. The Roman soldier understood who Jesus was, and he believed and he trusted in him. And all through Scripture, Jesus demonstrated his love and value for all people and his desire that no one would be lost. His word gives us the truth that our sin does not keep him away from us. He is ready to forgive. Our past can never keep us from God's purpose for our lives, a purpose for life. Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plan I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Are there barriers today you're dealing with that keep you from realizing this promise of life? Are there barriers you're dealing with that keep you from experiencing the miracle of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Matthew's gospel shows us that Jesus can save anyone. That is, anyone who admits they need a Savior and that they want to be saved. What happens when you run into Jesus? Your life is changed. Your life is simply changed by his touch. In our scripture, the centurion just said, say the word. He and his servant was healed. So your life is changed by his touch. You see, Jesus is still the King of miracles. What he did for the centurion, he will do for us. Now today, some of us might be letting some barriers really hold us back from experiencing the miracle. If so, be reminded that Jesus said, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. He is near and is ready to meet our needs. So we might pray for all kinds of miracles for ourselves or on behalf of others. But first and foremost, Jesus wants us all to experience the miracle of eternal life, in which we will be in a right relationship with God for all eternity. But no matter what miracle we receive, no matter if we have that perfect job, if we have that perfect spouse, one day it will come to an end. Remember, the centurion's servant did die, but the miracle of eternal life lasts forever. Jesus has promised to come in and live in each of us, but he is a holy God. He has restrictions. The Roman soldier understood the Lord's restriction. He is restricted by his nature and his word. He can't come in and live in sin. So know that inviting Christ into your life means being prepared for Christ to send other things out of your life. To know Christ is to allow Christ to continue to control and direct the choices we make every day. God has given us a choice to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. Proverbs 3 reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. demonstrate that great faith and experience the miracle of life through Jesus Christ. You may think God does not know or care about your particular situation, but there is nothing in our lives that God does not know about and God is not concerned about. God knows what you need. If you have all the needs that you have in your life today, let me ask you, are you willing to serve God even if you do not receive the miracle of healing, the miracle of the job, the miracle of a person, the right person, opportunities, or any situation you desire? Are you still willing to serve God? Sometimes God does miracles in ways we don't understand and on God's own timing. The key is not trying to get something from God through begging and pleading and promising, but rather in saying, Lord, I say yes to your will and to your way, even if my miracle is delayed. By running into Jesus, all kinds of possibilities become possible in our lives. If we can have great faith, the same as the centurion had, only by realizing that our faith must be centered in Jesus Christ, who has all power and authority in heaven and earth. I was thinking about centered in Jesus Christ, and I can't remember if it's Greg or Jeff Moffat who said, Jesus is the center of my life. And so, you know, they sang that song with such passion. You gotta have Jesus as the center of your life. We can have strengthened faith by realizing that. And we also can have our faith strengthened by realizing that we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have everything perfect in our lives. We don't have to clean ourselves up. People often tell me I have to get myself right. You don't have to have that right job. You don't have to be in the right race. You don't have to have the right amount of money. You don't even have to be what we would call the church people for Jesus to work a mighty miracle in your life, the miracle of eternal life. Amen. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for the miracle of the gospel. We thank you for your promise of salvation. We thank you that you promised us that we would believe and that if we would confess our needs for a Savior, we would have the miracle of eternal life. We pray for strengthened, genuine faith with a sincere heart so that we too will experience the miracle. Amen. Amen.